for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
It's a serious fella, man. Don't sleep on him.
I ain't gonna sleep on him.
Seriously, don't sleep on this boy. Yes, he ain't got no heart at all. And they say teeth from teeth, God smile. I believe.
My mommy tell me that before.
I think he believe in that.
Brand new phone? Where? Can't find that. Time now? I just buy that. Oh Lord, brand new television. New Jordans. No missing. This boy then sell my jeans. Cash for gold, got all my jeans. Leave your jeans, shine them, that's a loss. Yield teeth, the Lord off the cross. My gal can't find her rings. But don't lie, but I know it's you, King. He just come out of jail last weekend. But he done been all over BN. This boy then snort three lines. Make the punch like 15 times. No job, he rob instead. Didn't you get for nothing with the picky, yeah. Real talk and team so tough. Then thief up all my stuff. When they catch me done for good. Hold on, they think he has something in the bush.
Hey, boy. I ain't saying the boy does thief.
That's what you think.
I just telling you all, don't sleep.
Better not.
And I ain't saying the boy is fast.
Let me tell you.
I just telling you, watch your.
Ask me about the boy walking up the hill with a full tank of gas on his shoulder. And you know something wrong with that. Yeah, the boy got issues.
Yes, sir.
And he does lie. And I know he does lie.
That boy there is Thief. I'm not sure if you all know who that is. That is the legendary Bohemian songster, Ronnie Butler. But then again, I said, but there's someone singing with him. There's someone that Ronnie Butler brought in, the great Ronnie Butler brought in to say, I'm going to bridge the gap between what is the Bahamas is known for, that rambling sound, that gumbe sound, that Bohemian sound, with a newfound Bohemian sound. There's something called Bohemian rap, right? Today, I actually have Bohemian Trey, the legendary Bohemian Trey. People know him. Yeah, can you imagine a big name? They call you legendary. The legendary Bohemian Trey on with me, right? And I'm going to talk culture, the new generation of culture, with him. What is Bohemian culture? What is this Bohemian rap? What do you call the sound that he does, right? I know Bohemian Trey going on with 10 years now. Not personally, but listening to his sound. I heard a beat some years ago that called You Can't Muggle Like Me. And I said, man, who is this? And I went on to YouTube and they had this young boy. When I say young boy, I mean this boy was in school singing a song that my child knew by ear, and her fellow students was chanting this particular song. And I said, this boy arrived. This young man arrived. And I said, this got to be a fluke. Him and this boy named Father Fred. They said, got to be a fluke, right? But they still exist now and still producing. This is day three, right? Day three post, no, is it? Day seven. Day seven post the Bahamas Independence Day celebration, July 10th. Today is July 18th, Tuesday, July 18th. That's probably 8 days, eh? But anyway, post Independence Day celebration. And as you know, I've been having a conversation. What happens next? What happens next in terms of Bohemian culture? What should the Ministry of Culture be doing at this present time? What should we be doing at this present time? And I wanted Bohemian Trey to come in and explain his journey as an artist, a new age artist. And of course, I have a Mr. Sands, who's going to be my co-host with me. And I know Mr. Sands for a while. And I say, hey, Sands, join me in this conversation. Because Sands is of a different generation, an older generation, an experienced generation, where his music and his taste is different, right, in contrast to this new generation that Bohemian Trey has. So I can have him come and do some commentary on that too and give him the opportunity to speak on that. But first, before we start off that, who is this Bohemian Trey? And what do you call the type of genre of music that you play?
Much respect, first of all. Good morning, Mr. Sands. Good morning, Bahamas. I mean, I appreciate you for all the great things that you said just now about me. And I just appreciate you for that because, believe it or not, as an artist, it definitely feels so good whenever you hear your fellow Bahamian brother or sister just say, hey, man, I proud of this, or you're doing good here in this area. But Bahamian Tree is, for right now, a young artist who is always representing his country in some way, form, or fashion artistically. So right now, you would find me on different genres of music. So, and I can't wait to get deep into this conversation now when we talk about how we even speak on what is the conversation of Bahamian music. But when it comes to the genre of music that I do, I would one day might be on a rake and scrape track, or a hip hop track, or a reggae track, or a dancehall track, or even maybe a bossa nova track. But you can always find me using my Bahamian dialect wherever it is, whatever it on. And that is my interpretation of where, you know, my, I guess you could say my understanding of my Bahamian experience. You know what I mean? Because whatever it is I'm talking about is from a perspective of a young man who grew up in the Bahamas, and then my perspective on whatever topic of discussion it is that I might decide to talk about on whatever beat it is. Because for me, when it comes to music, it is talk, I can say it later, it is talk to me. You know, the beat, whatever it is, I would let the topic of discussion come up through whatever the beat says to me. And, you know, the interesting thing that you said about the different tastes of music between me and Mr. Sands, you know, it's interesting. Like, I could imagine during the times of the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, there were so many different influences around in the Bahamas as well when it comes to how we look at it musically, even on the whole. Like, Rake and Scrape itself is an influence of a bunch of different genres and a bunch of different cultures too, believe it or not. Where's the accordion from? I know you know. You could tell me where the accordion is from.
From the old European. But see,
so even that is a fusion of culture. You know what I mean?
Mind you, when I critique Bahamian music, they always remind me that Bahamian music is a fusion, right?
It's all music.
Which is all music, right? But what you do can't be considered Bahamian music, can it?
See, and that's what I mean when I talk about the conversation around Bahamian music, because, like, if you look at different genres, like, we know what genres of music that we create, and there are such things called subgenres. So what I do is not an exact derivative of what is reggae exactly, but when I bring my Bahamian influence into the genre and I do it my way, or even if I go even further to go to an instrumentation that might have been done by a Bahamian and he could have done it his way, then for me, this is a subgenre of what is Bahamian music. Because when you look at, okay, when you look at the conversation itself, if I was to ask you, okay, if someone was to come outside and say, okay, what is Bahamian music? Which I'm sure everybody then heard that question so many different times. We already know what Bahamian genres are.
We do?
Rake and Scrape, Gumbe, and Junkanoo. If you ask any musician...
I can have you pause there. This way I can
and when
bring,
I say
I can
genres, that
no, no,
you
no,
know
I
what
understand.
The genres are.
No. I can interrupt you right now because I'm going to bait Mr. Sands. I'm going to bring in Mr. Sands because
okay.
He's a different generation.
Got you.
Mr. Sands, how old are you right now? Just give me an injury. There's a reason why
60
I
60 plus.
60 plus, right? Bahamian Tree saying we have genres as Rake and Scrape, Gumbe. What the next one is? Junkanoo.
Yeah.
Right? When you were growing up, what type of music you would describe Bahamian music as?
As a boy growing up, I had prescribed to the music of the late Ronnie Butler. It's fortunate that he mentioned that's my cousin.
Hey,
and
awesome.
You know his music was so was and his the way his presentation of his music was second to none. Notwithstanding, he had people like Smokey 007, the late Smokey 007, and all of them, and Jay Mitchell, who's still with us today. Only thing he's doing more of a gospel, taking a gospel approach to music now, as opposed to what he was doing prior. But the late Ronnie Butler. Mm-hmm. I would like for you to, when you have an opportunity, mm-hmm. to go more in depth and let me know where did you meet Ronnie, and how did, you know, because this was actually, in my view, this was a transformation. And so Mr. Butler, Ronnie Butler, my cousin, was a visionaire. Apart from being one of the best artistic music poison in the Bahamas, he had a vision, And so you are part of Ronnie Butler's vision.
And I'm glad that you elaborated on that, because interesting that you mentioned it, Ronnie. There's an interview that was done with Ronnie, and if he was here to be able to ask that, answer that question for you, you know what he would have said? Mm-hmm. Bahamian music is music made by a Bahamian. Cool. That's what Ronnie say. You see what I'm saying?
And I've heard that interview where he said Bahamian music is done by a Bahamian, right? And I always push back, right?
Why?
And the reason why I push back, because I think that our culture is anemic, right?
Meaning?
We need a blood transfusion in terms of celebrating us, that when it comes to identifying us as a people, it has been permeated by so many other cultures. It had to identify the stream, saying, I appreciate the Bahamian reggae. I appreciate the Bahamian rap. I appreciate the Bahamian soca. And notice I keep out reason word Bahamian, because these are music played by Bahamians, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to comment also that what you do is different from Bahamian rap, Bahamian music, and because of the personality you bring in. You feel the Bahamianness in your rap. But I'm going to come back to that, right? But my theory of being anemic, meaning that we are at risk of losing our identity and our true self because of a part of our culture is that we are able to copy well. We are able to absorb well. This is just a cultural thing about us. A Bahamian can go to Miami and fit in and wear...
From in the airport.
If an American thinks they've been there for decades.
From in the airport.
Right? And from the airport, you can go to England. Bahamian can go to England and know more about England, can speak the Cockney dialect better than the Cockney people, and say, man, no, this person born here and clearly has generational connectivity because of how they project themselves. This is part of our culture. So that being said, right, I see you come in doing Bahamian rap, Bahamian soca, Bahamian reggae, and you've given a list of what all you do, right? Bahamian. But I feel the Bahamianness in your song. It is not that I feel as though you're just copying something else. I hear the accent. I hear the verbs that you use, the words that you use, the syntax. I hear the jargon that you use and say, hey, no, that's a Bahamian there singing. I ain't asking.
Yeah.
I can say, no, that's a Bahamian song right there, right? And I saying that post our 50th Independence Day celebration, post July 10th, as we march forward and identify ourselves, because I think there's a need to identify ourselves as a people, right? I can appreciate what you give, what you're doing, but surely there needs to be some kind of affirmative action to promote what is Bahamian.
Okay, so now when it comes to that, it's interesting because you talked about Ronnie, you talked about Jay Mitchell, and you talked about, who was the next name that you said?
Smokey 007.
Smokey 007. Now, if we talk about the era of you now, Mr. Sands, I want to ask you a question. Would you say that you are someone that has Bahamian pride? And I mean, you're already smiling, but I want to know what's the answer for you to that question.
Yeah, truly, I take great pleasure in Bahamian culture. As a matter of fact, I would go as far as to say, even though in the present circumstances where we have youth sports and culture, in my opinion, culture should have a minister, should be the direct minister responsible for culture. More emphasis, more need to be put into culture, because culture is who you are.
Got you. And I feel your passion for that, right? And the reason why I asked you that question was because you had people like Jay Mitchell who was the funk daddy.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
He didn't necessarily sing Bahamian songs. He did covers.
No, he did everything.
Smokey 007 also didn't sing Bahamian songs.
Smokey 007 did everything. You see what I'm saying? Because Jay Mitchell, you know who's the original writer for I Saw Mommy and Daddy Fighting? Mr. Jay Mitchell.
Really?
He is the original. You see what I'm saying? So when it comes to Jay Mitchell has countless rake and scrape songs. You know what I mean? Go down back home. You know what I mean? We could talk all day about the rake and scrape songs that Jay Mitchell them have. And that didn't stop Mr. Sands from being a prideful man about his country, with him doing the funk of the Gombe bump and him saying, all right, I saw mommy and daddy fighting on a rake and scrape track. You see, they're saying so much that it inspired another person to even cover his song, because that's probably the song that you're thinking about. Okay. But Jay Mitchell is the original.
Producer, play the next song for me, right?
King Eric and His Knights.
No, I'm going to play your song.
Okay.
Can you play the next song for me? What song I want to play?
Muggle.
Muggle. Because this is my favorite song by Bohemian Tree, right? And the reason why I want this play, right? Gombe's festival is about to start. This might be the biggest festival inside the Bahamas because every family island will be playing, having their own Gombe festival. It's going to be permeate the whole Bahamas,
right?
I see
that.
And I want to know, will they make space for a person like you for Gombe?
I love that question.
But play that song so people understand how I got in contact with you in terms of who this Bohemian Tree is. I'll play that song there, producer.
Charlie Brown, let me tell you all what happened when I go on to the stands. In fact, all you need is
I go on in the dance and what I see. What that gal with a big bony.
Go on me, I know, so I can get straight. Turn around, then I see her face. I say, girl, who is you? You look like an animal out of the zoo. She say you wasn't saying that. I'm behind, but I don't see nothing wrong with a little bummer guy. Time now. I just trying to get straight, you know. Time she mash up, I don't know. So I walk off, got out of sight, cause that's enough old leaf for me in one night. March off like a marching band. Spot a light skin in a leopard print pants. When I see that, I pick up my pace, I roll up on up. I grab her by her waist, I say, you can't muggle like me. You can't muggle on the beat. Alkaline, 1, 2, 3, call me Chaperone, cause I's a bedroom bully.
You can muggle like when I heard that song back with that for 10 years ago. How long that was?
That was only 2015.
That was at 15, 20. That's like eight.
Almost.
How much is it? Almost 10 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Right? I said, this is a classic. My child starts singing this song. Her friends start singing this song. Mm. They play this song on their fun day. You can't muggle like that. It's all a generational thing. And they say, I know that beat. I know it's a reggae song, but that's a Bohemian reggae song, right? The words, the sound was Bohemian in it, right? Where Bohemians celebrate in that song. And like I said, Gombe is coming up. And Gombe has a flair about it where they mostly play covers. And I always get upset about just playing covers, right? And there should be a promotion of the new generation Bohemians and what they play and how we sound as Bohemians, right? And I would like to know, do places like that make space for you to play a song, You Can't Muggle Like Me, to play the rap sound what you do? Is there space for you? Do the Ministry of Culture, Ministry of Tourism mostly, engage artists like you to say, come play?
I'll be honest with you. If you're talking about for the Gombe that is coming up, I didn't get any calls for that so far yet.
That's because you have music in your name.
But they have reached out before. I have done stuff in conjunction with the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture before. It's also with the Ministry of Tourism. And I feel like they do have sometimes where spaces where they facilitate people like me, you know. But there are certain people also in the midst with certain agendas as well. Because just like how you say, your music ain't Bohemian. But Lenny Kravitz on the tourism
thing. Your music ain't Bohemian either.
But Lenny is on the ad though. So what you promoting? Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
You getting citizenship
in a minute. But no, hold on. What I'm trying to get to is like they do have the ways how they facilitate people like me. But at the same time, it's like, we do have some people with certain agendas, but then at the same time, it's sometimes where it gets contradictory where you see, hold on, they don't want me there, but look at Lenny. You see what they're saying? Now, I say that for ones who you do have.
I understand.
I ain't trying to step on no toes or nothing like that, but I just say that to say, you do have Bohemians who do rock and roll. Like the other day, I saw this, the girl, I think from the Village Band, she was very upset over a conversation, I'm sure that you saw what happened around, how people were perceiving her jazz band. And it's so interesting, if we're talking about jazz, Mr. Peanuts Taylor will tell you how they used to have jazz segments during their plays in the, you know what I mean, in the clubs where they used to play. So these other influences have always existed, but it never took away the pride from the people. You see what I'm saying? Now, when it comes to the conversations, I feel like the conversations are important because it keeps us reminded of who we are. Because we don't need to forget who Jay Mitchell was. We don't need to forget who Wendell Starr was. We don't need to forget who Richie Delamore was. We don't need to forget who all these different great men were, because Tony Seymour and them was doing crazy things in their era. They wasn't just joking Ron. They was the top dogs in the land. Who was running the clubs? Who was owning the clubs? The entertainers. Who was funding these certain people? The entertainers.
You're about 25 now. How are you?
23.
So you're still young. It's rare to find a Bohemian so young who can cite all of these Bohemian artists.
Because I was a student of the game, CA. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna lie. Just like how you see the passion from Mr. Science, I'm serious when I say Bohemian Dre. Why? Because I started to ask these same questions, what you thinking about. But it had to be in something before 2000 when it comes to our Bohemian discography. After working with Ronnie Butler, honestly, big and the reason how that happened, Mr. Science, because I didn't ever get to answer your question with that. But big shouts out to Charlie Brown and Reality, who was able to make that connection happen between me, Ronnie Butler, and Father Fred on that song. So big shouts out to them for that. But after that happened, I started to go down the rabbit hole, found Ronnie, found Count Bernardino, found these different people, and you had certain people who actually would sit down and want to have a conversation with you. Some of them, they'll say, oh, they don't talk or whatever like that. But if I call Inchimai right now, we would not come off the phone. Like, mm-hmm. We could talk for hours. Me and Mr. J. Mitchell, we could talk for hours about certain things. I don't get that same effect from everybody. Mm-hmm. But it's certain people in the industry who was able to lend me certain knowledge or just tell me about certain history, and I sit down and listen. Mr. Penis Taylor, sit down and spoke with me, and I listen.
Bohemian
because
Trey,
there's so much things that he had
I'm
to
a culturist.
Offer.
I like old school music. I like
me
old
too.
School. I appreciate...
Look a muggle.
Yeah. I appreciate the fusion. Mm. When can I anticipate another fusion? People like you, not to say necessarily you, but a fusion of that old Bohemian sound with this new Bohemian sound that you are expressing, that you are selling, the new Bahamas.
When
can I have another song similar to what you did with Ronnie Butler, where I can hear this new sound?
Now, for me, if you want to hear it from me personally right now, we definitely, I'm in studio right now, in works, working with different producers, giving them this vision and even having talks like this from time after time, getting them to not just hear the music, but to understand like the whole understanding of this music. Because the interesting thing about, like you say, the sound of yesteryear is also the sound of today. Why I say that? Gumbe is... Who all over that right now? Wizkid, Burna Boy, and all these different dudes. Why? Because that's the African sound. Where does that tie into us and Mr. Penis Taylor, them who enjoyed singing at them, who was doing, East Mister, don't touch me, tomato, on pop, 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 pop. It was the African influence. All of that was being tied in together from back then. So it's like, it's interesting. It's very interesting when you think about it, because it's still prevalent. But, I mean... You have more people right now. When you want to speak about others, to be honest, I won't just knock and say that it doesn't exist because I don't know about it. But I haven't seen much people getting into what was, you know, Gumbe and bringing it into something new. But that's definitely what I'm
the
doing
song competition
in this new vibe.
Gumbe song. And I'm thinking, oh, Bohemian Trey ain't gonna participate in this. Because I don't know if you have any Gumbe song or inside you to write a plain Gumbe song without being you, to put in a rap, a Bohemian rap vibe, a reggae vibe, but you want to celebrate also the independent celebration.
See, it's interesting because, like, I mean, Gumbe, like the elements of Gumbe, if you want to talk about it, is that 5-beat count right there, a bass, and most times you would have maybe a piano and maybe a goatskin drum. You had Calypso Mama who did it with just the saxophone, the drum, and the bass. So it's like the elements to it, it isn't hard to do. But when it comes to these things, you know why you don't see a lot of young people making rake and scrape and gumbe? It's expensive, CA.
It's pricey?
What a freeze. You want to know how much it costs right now to do? You want to know how much it costs right now to do a rake and scrape track? Matter of fact, I ain't gonna step on no toes. But just in your head, think about who you know to be the producers. I want you to believe. It's a hefty price. So certain dudes who just coming out of school, unless they picking up that guitar themselves, which I'm so glad to see schools like GHS mm-hmm. being so active and prevalent about having their young students be musicians, they don't got to go to certain people to get their music done instrumentation-wise, but they could say, all right, yeah, do it myself. But if they wanted to come out of school, they better have at least a grand if they want to produce a song. You know what I mean? A song.
And I see we have a call here, and I want to comment on that. Big shout out to Sinan School, because they have a school band that plays rake and scrape. GHS has a premier school band that plays rake and scrape, and high quality. And mm-hmm. they're able now to market themselves and get gigs now to
And
to
I sell. Love that.
Yes.
I love that. Yes. I love that.
And that's something to celebrate. And we need more people to hire school bands like that. Because once upon a time, we had school bands that was hired, right? When you think of, the name just escaped from me. I see, anyway, that Granny Flyin', who sings that song? Eddie Minnistem.
Sing it.
Eddie Minnistem had school bands. Yesteryears, they had school bands who was hired by Bohemians and businesses to make money. And I find
that's what the froggy said.
Yeah, and I'm finding that persons are not given that opportunity. But let's go to this caller. Yeah. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller girl once.
Caller girl twice.
Okay, there's no caller.
Sold to the caller.
Yes, we got a call back caller. And if I see it blinking, we'll go back to it, right? Sans, I'm going to come back to you. I know you called various musicians that you liked, but I want to know the sound. Give me a song that you like, Bohemian song that you like.
Oh, I love it.
One of the Bohemian song that I like foremost is that when my late cousin Ronnie Butler was Bohemia Road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bohemia Road. You know, because
you know that is not necessarily Gombe, but that is a rock song. And that's called Bohemian Rock. And on the album, you see that it's a Bohemian Rock that he has it too. And something that we as Bohemians need to accept, that when Ronnie Butler sang, and when he has his, he sang different genres too. And he created a whole new song, whole new genre of music called Bohemian Rock. I like how Trey do Bohemian Reggae, Bohemian Rap, right? That this genre can survive over a long period of time.
Nah. I mean, like, Mrs.
Certainly, like I said, but that song, you know, going down Bohemia Road, was a true reflection of who we were back in the day, you know, because you had the Bohemia Road riot in 1942, and there were so many things, you know, that transcended, and so many things that happened prior to that brought the Bahamas into what it is today in terms of becoming first internal self-government. Then, of course, we got independent in 73, and we now celebrate 50 years later. And that Bohemian culture display on Independence Day, that jubilee, that 50th anniversary, I trust that I live to see one similar. But that was a full display of Bohemian culture on display. At the highest level.
Let's talk about that. You performed at the one they had at Fish Fry, and I forget which one. That was the Battle of the Bands. The bands before the July 10th cultural. I think I'm sure he was there. They had the different genres of Bohemian music being played at the Fish Fry Esplanade type thing. They also had that controversy, I use the word loosely, where the jazz portion. And person said,
"Oh no, I was in there. They didn't call me.
You don't get called for much thing. You need to be concerned.
Should I?
I'm concerned. I assume that because you did a different genre of Bohemian music, and that they had a display of different genres of Bohemian music, that you would have been called. But talking about that, right? They had rap, reggae. They had Bohemian jazz, where they played Bohemian songs that we know and jazz it up." That you can appreciate, and of course they have a whole following now of people doing that. Mm-hmm. And in the United States, I mean, you showed me some clips of international people redoing Bohemian songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that, how come we don't have that love?
What way?
In terms of, why aren't we redoing these old Bohemian songs that is gone and forgotten? Because my child's generation don't know some of these songs, right? Would not listen to these songs not necessarily, unless they are redone, remastered in a more modern way. So who is responsible, whose duty it is now to go back inside the archives and say, well, we're going to bring this song from the dead and resurrect it for our beams love?
Oh, nah, it's definitely us as the artists. That it's our responsibility to get something like that done because, I mean, it's our discography is so deep. It's so much different music that we have to look through and go through. But again, it's expensive, CA. So you have a lot of artists. Like, let me show you, like, from a music business standpoint. When you think about, okay, like, for the whole scape of it, you would imagine right now you have a lot of young people who coming out of school who want to pursue music, right? Let's say if they want to do that same thing you're talking about, they're going to have studio time. They're going to have someone to mix and master. Now, much people you could go to just say, all right, bro, do this for me. And yeah, man, that's straight. Just shake hands and pop, that cool. Now, this time that we're talking about, studio time, you have typically certain places you go $60 an hour. Now,
$60 an hour?
All right. You see how you express for that? And that's for the for normal. Because and when I say for normal, I mean you would find that to be like a standard most times. Now, if you want to go to something to something like high quality, for sure, you can be spending at least maybe almost $100 an hour at certain people's studio. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the mixing and mastering, you could be spending a certain amount of, and this is again one song I'm talking about.
What do you recommend for us to solve that problem?
The mentorship, CA. Let me tell you how important mentorship is. The only reason I could articulate myself to you and Mr. Science this morning and the whole Bahamas and people who outside is because of the mentorship. People like Charlie Brown, people like Reality, who saw me, Father Fred, and Spicy at the time with our talent and saw themselves with their knowledge and said that we want to help these young people by giving them the knowledge, by giving them our time and resources to be able to propel them forward. Like I said again, I myself would not have been able to work with Ronnie Butler on a track like Teeth if it wasn't for Charlie Brown and Reality. So when it comes to now bridging that gap, and that's why I appreciate for someone like Ronnie to want to do something like that and be so intentional about bridging that gap, because you don't see that even now that much, where you have the elders coming into the young artists and saying, hey, this is how we could do this together.
Ronnie's
this is how you doing it wrong. This is how you could do it right. You ain't have much people who do that. But like I said, shout out to the few people who do get in conversations with the young people. But the way to combat that, we have all of the resources that we need. All we need is selfless mentorship. That's all.
Okay, and we're about to take a commercial break, unless that's a caller. I'll pass the caller through. But let me read this text and then we'll take a commercial break. Okay. This text says, I remember during the 70s, my sister was in the Harold Road Senior High School. I forget what school that is. Harold Road. That's Aaron Bailey, maybe. Anyway, it says that the band was awesome. They had almost every instrument. She played the clarinet. Then the other schools came on board and they used to compete. We no longer have that. That competition between schools, the battle of the bands between schools. I'm hoping that GHS and St. Anne's lead that way in terms of trailblazers that they produce a quality of music to... See, one thing what happens in Jamaica, one thing that happens in Trinidad, the school children play songs.
Barbados just had a soca, junior soca manat competition.
We don't have no Bahamians.
Junior soca manat competition.
And where they produce songs and quality songs and say, well, this is the next generation.
Cheering. And I mean, like, little kids was in Barbados just a day ago doing a soca manat competition from, like, I mean, 10-year-olds to, like, maybe 16, the oldest 17. And that's a competition that they've been doing every year. That's why you have people like Marshall now.
Yep.
Because he was doing it from a child.
From a child. We need that. Let's pass this caller through, and then we go to commercial break right after that, producer, okay? Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hi, good morning. Can you guys hear me?
Good morning. I can hear you loud and clear.
Hi. Now, see, this is a controversial topic. I had a young being artist talking about collaboration, but I want to be controversial myself. Now, there was a rumor going around. I used to be in the Bahamian Odyssey, and the rumor was that Ronnie Butler was not as collaborative as he could have been, which stifles the Bahamian music on the international scene. And I am inclined to believe some of the story. You know, Bahamians tend to warp the story, but I'm inclined to believe some of it because whenever any U.S. artists or even Caribbean artists come over, you never find any collaboration come out of it. Even with Baha Men, who reached the international scene, they don't have any really collaborations with, say, a Shaggy or Buju Banton or any American artists who have Bahamian roots, don't even come back to give. So it leads me to believe that back in the day when the Bahamian artists were on the top, that when the American artists came to reach a handout, that they probably shunned them away, you know, Bahamians are. And it gave a detrimental effect, almost like a ripple effect to this day, because now we're losing our identity in Bahamian music, so to speak, like you said earlier with the Reagan slave and the Gumbay beat. And don't be fooled. International artists listen to all music and are inspired by all music. And because we don't have any copyright laws,
yes,
or
we
any
we
publishing,
yes, we do.
They can come and they can just, you know, take the music and run and make the money that we want to make. But anyway, I would love to, for your caller, I mean, for your guest, elaborate a little bit on that for anybody to call in.
Before or after?
No, let's take a break first, and then I'm going to pose a question to you.
Mm.
You have played on some big ticketed items, shows,
right?
Have there been any collaborative opportunities that you say, hey, I like what you've done. Can you come to the States and perform, one? Or can we work together, two? Because I know that Lenny Kravitz recently, when he did his most recent song, which is a big hit.
Nehemiah used to sing backup for Lenny, by the way.
See, even that. You need to tell that story, too. But Lenny Kravitz's song has his video, music video.
So that debunks what the caller say, by the way, too, with not the collaborations not happening internationally.
And we can have talk about it. We can talk about it. Lenny Kravitz's new song has the Bahamian backdrop. They had a big Bahamian song, Bahamian themed. You see our Walker students walking through the thing. You see them at the pump. You see them diving for conch. It had a Bahamian flair, even though it was an international song. But I mean, we come right back and talk about that. You're going on a break right now. This is Guardian Radio AM with CA Nerdia, Bahamian Trey, who is with me. We're talking about Bahamian music, this new sound, this new generation type music. Is there space for them? Is Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture, Ministry of Tourism embracing them? We also have Mr. Sands here with me, and he's talking about his generation, what type of music he liked, and how is this fusion happening. But we'll be right back after this brief break.
I can't let you go, no, I can't let you go. Girl, it's because I love you so. It's because I love you so.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Trey, this song hot. You could hear the Bahamian vibe in this song.
This would be considered a neo gumbe.
This a neo gumbe? That's what you call it?
That's what I would call it, because that same pop, 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 pop.
Yes.
You see
yes,
what
yes.
I'm saying? And before it went off, you were saying that.
Chet.
It right there, the elements. It's all about the elements. And then, too, what I was getting to about Bahamian music, why we are all able to recognize it. If you bring a musician in here, they'll know the difference between a jazz on a hi-hat and a Reagan scrape on a hi-hat. They know what to do. A Junkanoo rhythm, you know exactly what to do.
But your song doesn't seem forced. I listened to other Bahamian artists who try to put in that Junkanoo fusion and say, okay, why they put this Junkanoo beat in this? It doesn't sound good. Like, they just throw it in. This sound like it's a natural sound that is normal, that you can appreciate and say, listen to this Bahamian music. It was soft and powerful.
Big up to Charlie Brown on the production.
Charlie Brown,
on that
bad
one.
Man. I see. I have a caller here. Let's post a caller. I want to know.
And a question from the caller.
No,
too.
I want to also know about the musician union, right? How they helping you? How they helping you get gigs? How they helping you meet these international artists who come down? Because we're having a big reggae concert happening. Two big reggae concerts happening one time on the same date. I want to know if any Bahamian reggae artists like you could be on the ticket and say, well, at least you can hear you. But don't let me go to this caller first. And I want to know if you get one gig too.
Yeah.
If you at least get one of them. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, I can hear you. Morning, CA.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Morning, Trader.
Morning.
How y'all doing?
Say this.
Go ahead, caller. Who is this?
Trey, I wanted to get your opinion. One, you're very knowledgeable about music, man. I want to encourage you and congratulate you on the work that you've done so far.
Appreciate
in
that.
In regards to that, you're not born with this. That's honed and that's practiced and that's hours of hard work.
Appreciate that.
But I want to get your opinion. Where do you think Junkanoo falls in this discussion, and what role do you think Junkanoo has on the future of Bahamian music in this conversation? You talk a lot about Gumbe,
okay, got you,
and so forth. But you know, when we look at it, you know, people either love or hate Junkanoo, right? Fine, right?
Mm.
They either can't get enough of it, or they don't, or call them, or call you when it's over, right? So, where do you think Junkanoo falls in this conversation, man? And I'm very much enjoying the conversation.
Okay, so when you say where it falls, you mean, oh, he been gone.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll just elaborate on it, right? Now, I'll reference big up to the whole Rasta community, right? So in the Rasta community, there's a rhythm that's called the one beat drop.
Yes.
You would have heard many reggae songs with the same beat. These are some serious times. Now, what they did was they took this cultural sound, rhythm, and they commercialize it. When it comes to the Junkanoo rhythm.
Oh, Lord, what you gonna say?
Boo-ka-boo-ka-da. We didn't let other people commercialize that.
Say that part again, because I row with the Junkanoo community all the time that the sound, Junkanoos have betrayed the sound and Junkanoo in general. The same way how they have a cultural Rasta sound, right? Mm. That you identify.
There's multiple, by the way.
Yeah,
there's
multiple,
not just one.
But I understand that. Junkanoo also had a cultural sound which said, that is Junkanoo. But now we are being permeated by so many different sounds that you cannot identify, well, it's a Junkanoo beat, but I ain't sure.
Now, let me champion for the Junkanooers, because Junkanoo, in its integrity, the drum never changed. The boom, 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 boom.
Man, that's new.
Never changed.
That's new.
Exactly.
That's new.
But the integrity of the rhythm never changed. You have bushwhackers who might slow it down.
Describe that beat, like how you did it to him. How that Junkanoo beat sound?
Boo, ka, boo, ka, la, boo.
We don't play that no more.
Boo, ka, la, boo, ka, boo. But the integrity of it, the only thing it did was speed up, see, eh?
How does speed up sound? And we saying that we still have that in Junkanoo now? Still?
The only difference is you might hear a little added boom, boom, ka, boom, boom, ka, da, boom, boom, ka, boom,
I can appreciate that, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's literally the same boom. Think about it. Time signature. Let's go deep into music theory now. Time signature. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. All I'm getting to now when I talk about the integrity of Junkanoo is that even still, if that is what it is, there can be multiple and still be Junkanoo, because this is what was our roots still. You know what I mean? So when it comes to the timing and of what it is, you have multiple Junkanoo rhythms and you have the ability to commercialize that. Big up to Bahamian. They have songs that did that very beautifully where they boom. They have a whole album named Click. And it's because, I guess, they describe that sound right there when they fuse that junkanoo with that, you know what I mean? It's collect that boom. You know what I mean? So now when I meant when I said they let other people commercialize it, I sure you know about the history of the Compass Point Studio.
Go ahead.
Like you said earlier, you have other people who did come to this country and got influenced and listened to so many different types of music. Beach Boys was listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
We have so much people who, Harry Belafonte was listening to us because
mm-hmm.
Harry used to live here.
Mm-hmm.
So we know how much we've been. Josephine Baker used to listen to us because mm-hmm. she did Don't Touch Me Tomato over. We have so much people who've been listening to us, and it's because when it comes to our sound, we have a unique sound. All we need to do is be careful how we have the conversation about it and describe what it is that we're talking about. If we're talking about Bohemian genres, we know what that is. We know what Junkanoo is. We know what rake and scrape is.
I have 30 seconds.
If you bring
the
musicians,
seconds,
they know
and
what,
I need
how
you
to do that.
A quick comment about the music union.
Okay, now the union is who is supposed to protect us in these areas. You want to ask why you might not see much people linking with the certain artists and things like that. By the way, there are laws that protect us as artists, and there are supposed to be certain people who are supposed to protect us with these laws. The former union, they are now, I don't know who's the president now, but now we have two unions, but just know that we need protection in these ways. We do have laws that protect us, copyright and other different reciprocal laws that are not just with us, but other countries that protect us.
I'm going to invite you back. We have this discussion. Thank you, Mr. Sands. Let's play this last song by Bohemian Trades. Understand that we have Bohemian music here that is fused and modern, and we got to listen to it.
Hear the saw in this too.
Yes, I hear the saw. Go ahead.
Let me show you what girl one can do for you. Girl say she wants peace like the girl too. Me say, reverse the thing, check it, break like two. Eyes animal, they ain't never had in the zoo. Girl say, more speed.
Right.
Girl sit down and whine for me. And me say, more speed.
Right.
Get tricky and get tacky when you whine for me. And me say,
more speed.
Hey, you know I like them when they skinny or tech. Don't mind if it like.